Film Nerds Unlimited. Lo-fi movie conversations with high-quality movie connoisseurs.
Issue 108.
Ben Stark of Wondermill Films.
Ben Flanagan of AL.com.
Ben, how are you doing today?
Doing great, Ben. Good morning.
Good morning. So this is a topic that's been floating around for the last few days, and I thought it would be a good conversation for us to have. And it does deal a little bit with Batman v Superman, which is a movie that you and I haven't really discussed on Film Nerds Unlimited. So in case we wander into a deeper discussion of that movie, which I don't think we will necessarily, but I just want to throw it out there that we may be spoiling that movie a little bit. There's some things that happen in that movie that may affect the way that DC makes movies going forward. So if that comes up, nobody should be mad at us because we said it now. Spoilers. So what we kind of wanted to talk about was this Hollywood Reporter story about Warner Brothers deciding to reportedly, and I couldn't really get, you know, like a direct quote about this from the story, but it seems like that Warner Brothers is deciding to make fewer films after making a pretty broad array of films over the last few years, making fewer films, focusing on three franchises, really. This comes in the wake of a few big, high-profile, expensive flops like Jupiter Ascending and Pan and In the Heart of the Sea. And now, I guess, Batman v Superman is not performing the way that the studio would like. So they are going to back off of production on smaller movies, it seems like, and focus on movies in the Harry Potter or Fantastic Beasts line, the DC Justice League line, and I think the Lego line. And this is kind of interesting. The studio, at one point, in my opinion, was one of the most exciting kind of big budget studios out there because of the things they were greenlighting with the Dark Knight trilogy and, of course, the Harry Potter franchise were so strong. And then in 2011, Alan Horn, who oversaw a lot of those films, ended up getting ousted or quitting, I'm not sure which, and went to Disney. And now it seems like Disney is kind of the best place in town to make these big blockbuster movies, and Warner Brothers is left twisting in the wind a little bit, trying to get their footing. So I wanted to kind of pick your brain on this. I mean, obviously, we live in Alabama. We are not Hollywood insiders, and there's plenty of context that we're missing here. But it is a pretty interesting conversation for those of us who like movies and like different kinds of movies and want to see different kinds of movies come out of our studios, especially a studio like Warner Brothers that has such a tremendous legacy. So what's your initial reaction to this news?
I guess my first thought is that moment in Jerry Maguire where Tom Cruise is writing the mission statement and he writes the death knell sentence, fewer clients, less money. And that just gets him fired. But I guess in this case, the philosophy is fewer movies, more money. Yeah, maybe if we focus on these just insane tentpole franchises, and maybe it'll work because, I mean, those franchises have so much potential for so much money to just keep flowing in internationally. I mean, you look at the smash hit that the Lego movie turned out to be. I don't think many people expected that, and all of the merchandising that will entail and just the insane sort of ancillary money that could be made around the movie itself, and you think, okay, well, that makes sense. I mean, they're already releasing this Lego Batman movie, combining two of the franchises that they own. And, you know, you would think that with a franchise like Harry Potter and Batman, that they wouldn't need to really find their footing in the way that you suggested, but it seems that they have, because, I mean, you would think that there are plenty of great filmmakers and terrific creative minds who would want to actively be a part of the Batman franchise, however they choose to do it. So they have the advantage of having the rights to one of the most profitable characters and franchises of all time in Batman, so it's really up to them to figure out how they're going to nail it in the way that they have in the past with Tim Burton and obviously with you know, to an extent, Schumacher, and obviously with Christopher Nolan, who did historic numbers with his Dark Knight trilogy. So it's a wonder that they don't know where to go from here. I mean, personally, I think that a standalone Batman movie with Ben Affleck would do really well, and it seems like that's the one positive thing that critics and fans and it seems the studio has gleaned from Batman versus Superman, that this is what everybody liked. Okay, let's react and let's make this movie that it seems that people want. So instead of giving them what they think they want, perhaps they're giving people what they actually want. And look, they've got plenty of pieces to work with, as the Hollywood Reporter indicated in their initial report on this. They've got Harry Potter. They've got great filmmakers like Christopher Nolan that they've worked with and can continue to work with. Clint Eastwood, who in his old age as a filmmaker, somebody who's not, you know, a huge movie star but not even in front of the camera hardly anymore. He's a directing brand at this point. I mean, he's able to churn out a big hit like American Sniper. And I think a lot of things had to move in place for that to happen. I mean, I think it was kind of a perfect storm of something that could capture the attention and wallets of America at the time. And it worked out big time, but they've still got Clint Eastwood, and he's got a big movie with Tom Hanks starring in it coming out later this year in Sully. And clearly they have some pieces with which they can work. You know, in terms of the fewer movies thing, if that gives them a greater, larger, more focused understanding of what they need to do and how they need to strategize moving forward, then maybe it's the right call. But I personally just wish they'd keep making the Lethal Weapon movies.
Yeah, heck yeah, man. Well, you bring up an interesting thing about the filmmakers, and it's something that was brought up in the Hollywood Reporter too. And it's something that seemed to be Alan Horn's approach, which is, you know, foster good relationships with filmmakers and give filmmakers like Christopher Nolan the Batman movies, or Alfonso Cuarón the Harry Potter movies, and then let these filmmakers make their, like you said, tentpole movies, but then also let those filmmakers stick around and make their smaller movies. And it makes no sense to me that if you're going to make tentpole movies, you know, the reason they're called tentpole movies is because they're pitching up, you know, the covering once or twice a year for the rest of the movie slate. And if you don't have a rest of the movie slate, your tentpoles are kind of pointless. You know, they're covering up nothing at all. They're covering up other tentpoles. And then you just go to a tent that has nothing in it. And if you just follow that metaphor down the line, and it's kind of tragic, because again, I feel like that's what Warner Brothers could be doing. That's what they've been, you know, I used to listen to this podcast called The Hollywood Saloon, and they reviewed The Dark Knight, and one of the hosts, John Jansen, talked about how at that point Warner Brothers should pull out the Kubrick contract for Nolan, which is this, you know, in the second half of his career, Stanley Kubrick was a Warner Brothers guy, and they just gave him a blank check to go do whatever he wanted to do. And they made sure that they had the money to pay Stanley Kubrick to make his movies. And I feel like if Warner Brothers played their cards right, they could be that thing. They could be that, you know, that Paramount of the 70s studio where filmmakers want to go there to, yeah, they'll get their big comic book assignment and pull that off, but then because they made that money for the studio, they'll also get their money to make Inception or Gravity or something like that. So I feel like that could be their competitive advantage, and it's sad to me that they're leaning on these franchises, which are, I don't know, they're barely, I mean, obviously the DC franchise is a big deal, and that's something that, yes, we should be making those movies, but leaning so much on the Harry Potter franchise that doesn't even have Harry Potter in it, and the Lego franchise, which is totally based in toys and not in character whatsoever, it just seems a little bit gross, and especially for a studio that, look, they've got Jeff Nichols, right? They just produced his first studio film in Midnight Special, and I can't see that movie. Batman v Superman is floundering in my theater here, and yet Midnight Special, this family film from a great young filmmaker, is just laying there and is not getting released in middle America, even though that Jeff Nichols is a director that is totally, you know, steeped in regional filmmaking, Southern filmmaking, Midwestern filmmaking. And it's frustrating to me that, look, you can have your next Christopher Nolan on your hands here if you just shepherded this guy, but they're not. They're withholding this release and withholding now, you know, the opportunity for other smaller films to be made by up and coming filmmakers, and it's frustrating. In when it's in favor of Harry Potter adjacent and Legos.
Yeah. Are you saying they talk a big game in terms of building these relationships and shepherding these relationships with filmmakers like Jeff Nichols and Christopher Nolan, where instead they kind of bury what they do and bury those promises? Because one thing I admire about Warner Brothers is that relationship with the filmmaker and putting an emphasis on a director who has a unique voice and has a unique vision. And DC in particular, they have given those kinds of filmmakers chances and they've taken risks on those kinds of directors. I mean, say what you want about Zack Snyder. I know you're not a big fan of him as a director, but Zack Snyder was a filmmaking brand and somebody who had a very, very singular style that people could identify. And the same is true, obviously, about Christopher Nolan, who is one of the great modern film directors. And I mean, even a guy like David Ayer, who's making Suicide Squad, a movie that they obviously hope will do well later this year in summer 2016. But David Ayer is a guy who makes movies his way. Whereas, I mean, obviously the easy contrast here is Marvel, whose system seems to be working just fine under Disney when they don't necessarily turn out the same kind of relationship with the filmmaker that DC and Warner Brothers seem to be a little more privy to doing, especially when you consider the stories, you know, the behind-the-scenes stories involving people like Jon Favreau, right, who famously left Marvel after his experience with Iron Man, and Joss Whedon, who obviously left after the Avengers movies, and Edgar Wright with Ant-Man. These guys who are all auteur filmmakers to an extent, and guys who have a very specific approach to what they want to do with even, yes, big tentpole releases. They just didn't see eye to eye with the conglomerate, and the studio and this massive corporate entity moved on in the way that they thought was right from a business standpoint, and maybe Marvel has it right. Maybe that's not the way to go. Maybe you know, if you want things to succeed in a specific way, in this case, if you want these big comic book movies to succeed in this one giant universe, maybe that is the best approach, and maybe you kind of keep it all under the same umbrella and moving at the same speed and part of that same tangible universe, instead of giving all of these different independent unique voices a crack at the same universe where you have a just mishmash of visual language and storytelling.
Well, no, I mean, I think that Marvel does that. Disney does that. You know, they're doing it with Star Wars, too. There's a house style that their filmmakers, you know, work under, whether they like it or not. And if they don't like it, they leave. And what Warner Brothers could be doing is doing their own thing. Instead of this weird split between setting up a house style for DC and then also trying to be a filmmaker-oriented company, just go whole hog on the filmmaker thing and be the halfway house for these guys that are jaded by Marvel. Like, if I'm the head of Warner Brothers, when I read that stuff about Edgar Wright and Ant-Man, I'm going to knock on Edgar Wright's door and say, hey, guess what? I've got $100 million for you right here. Do whatever you want. Here's the Atom or whatever. Here's the Flash or whatever comic book character. Don't worry about continuity. Don't worry about our greater universe. Just go make your superhero movie and make it great. And make it something different that Marvel can't give the public, and I feel like that's where the money is for them. But instead, like you said, they're since 2011 they're still trying kind of to foster relationships with auteurs, but I don't think anybody's going to say that Zack Snyder and David Ayer are on the same level as Alfonso Cuarón or Christopher Nolan, and then. So A, they're kind of, I don't know if they're fostering the right relationships. I agree with you that those guys are independent voices, but I don't know if they're if they're on the same level as filmmakers.
I don't think anybody would say that.
I have not seen any David Ayer movies, so I certainly shouldn't speak out of turn. But regardless, whatever your opinion is of them, they are still going with the Marvel approach and making the house style for DC movies the Zack Snyder style, which is totally contradictory to being a filmmaker-friendly studio. So I just see a lot of mixed messages in the last few years, and I think that this is another one of those where they're saying, you know, we value our filmmakers. However, our filmmakers aren't the thing that we emphasize. The thing we emphasize are these watered-down brands that aren't barely even brands. You know, like the Lego movie, there's one successful Lego movie. Fantastic Beasts is not a Harry Potter movie. It just seems like a really, really bad idea. It seems like they're looking at what makes other studios successful and trying to do that instead of being unique and being true to the studio that gave us Michael Curtiz and Stanley Kubrick and all these great filmmakers and Christopher Nolan. And honestly, they should probably be careful with the existing relationships they had because, hey, Christopher Nolan had to get help from Paramount to make Interstellar. So I know Dunkirk is a Warner Brothers film, but they better watch it and make sure that they're keeping these relationships. If I was Jeff Nichols right now, I would not be scrambling to make another movie at Warner Brothers based on the way that the release of Midnight Special has been treated. So I think that they're in a weird transition period, and I really, really hope that they find their footing.
It seems tricky because, I mean, on the other hand, you've got something like Creed, right, which was distributed by Warner Brothers, and that was directed by Ryan Coogler, who obviously is now on board with Marvel, and we'll see how that works out. But, I mean, he, again, is one of these cinematic visionaries who was given seemingly a lot of freedom to make the Rocky movie that he wanted to make. And even though it's part of a franchise, that seems such a singular film and experience that, you know, went into that with the objective of let's separate ourselves from this franchise and tell our own story and carve out our own identity. And they were able to do that, to their credit. And look, Disney is kind of doing both, right? One system under Marvel, which you just talked about, this house style, so to speak. And with Lucasfilm, it seems like they're giving directors, very, very specific directors with very specific styles, a little bit more freedom. Look, I couldn't tell you, you know, what exactly a Colin Trevorrow movie is or what it looks like, so I can't really tell you what to expect from Episode 9, but I can tell you what an J.J. Abrams movie looks like, and Episode 7 was very much a J.J. Abrams movie. I can tell you exactly what a Rian Johnson movie looks like, and I think the studio took a huge risk by hiring somebody like Rian Johnson, who has a very unique voice, so we'll see if he plays to any sort of house style, but I doubt it. I doubt he would have jumped on board for as long as he has committed if he wasn't going to get to make the movie how he wanted to make it. And obviously, with Indiana Jones, who's going to tell Steven Spielberg what to do? I'm guessing that's going to be a very specific Steven Spielberg movie because he created that Indiana Jones brand. And when you have somebody like Kathleen Kennedy, who obviously appreciates filmmakers, you know, who obviously has long relationships with Steven Spielberg, but also seems to care about the stories and care about the movies and wants to put them in the hands of great directors like J.J. Abrams, then you can go in a different direction. And I think that's an interesting contrast that they share. I don't think they're going to go too far out on a limb in terms of changing the style of the Star Wars movies. But look at the Star Wars standalone movies, this anthology. We see this first trailer for Rogue One, and that looks like a Gareth Edwards movie to me. That movie has a very specific tone to it that director obviously created. So they're giving filmmakers opportunities. So it's really
a director
tricky.
Whose last movie was at Warner Brothers.
Yeah, and it's definitely really, really super tricky, I'm sure, for Warner Brothers. Because, I mean, you look at something like Universal, right, who seem to be doing both in that they have these monster franchises like Jurassic World, which just set records and just had insane box office numbers worldwide, But then you've got, and then you've also got Fast and Furious, which they're seemingly going to make for eternity. And as long as they keep making, you know, $800 million worldwide, and same with Despicable Me and Minions. But then you've got things like Straight Outta Compton, right? Which you know, I wouldn't necessarily call it a huge risk because on paper it sounds like a great idea, but it was largely successful and it was not part of a franchise. And you've got things like, even though, you know, it wasn't a humongous hit, but you've got something like Trainwreck, right, where you take a risk on a brand new star and give her creative control, and she's got a really solid domestic hit on their hands, and they can, you know, it proves to them that they can invest in creative minds and new stars that don't have anything to do with franchises. So different studios are doing different things. You know, you hope that a studio like Warner Brothers, with a story to history that as it has, you hope that they learn the lessons the right way. And if they're going to borrow from what other studios are going to do, then they actually, you know, understand the method and why that works for those studios, instead of just saying, oh, well, I guess that's what they do. Let's try this. It sounds like it. You know, I trust Warner Brothers will eventually make the right calls, because they just have too many great tools not to get it done. I mean, again, you go back to the Batman franchise. When all else fails, lean on Batman.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think that an Affleck Batman movie is both a good step in the DC expanded universe direction, and I also think it's fostering a healthy relationship with a filmmaker that's brought you some really solid movies. So I think that I agree that is kind of the sparkling kind of hope for them right now. And I do. I mean, I know I'm talking ill of Fantastic Beasts, which had a trailer that released this week that looks really, really great. And I think David Yates is a really good filmmaker. But I'm just, I guess I'm more unsure of that as a continuing brand. So I agree with you. I think that they're going to figure something out. Unfortunately, it may see a regime change that you know, makes that change happen. And again, I feel like that Alan Horn was the X factor there. You know, I think it seems like his transition out is kind of where everything really changed for how they operated and what their future movies were based on, and what their projections were like. So hopefully the leadership there can get on the same page and really get back to doing what made Warner Brothers great. And again, I think a big part of that is, and I've said this for years, is take that DC brand that's been, you know, handled great sometimes and mishandled at other times, and do something different than Marvel with it. And I think that if you look at their track record, the great DC movies are all filmmaker-driven. You know, Richard Donner, Bryan Singer, Zack Snyder with Watchmen, I think, is a great example of letting a filmmaker do his thing. And then, of course, Christopher Nolan. So I think at the end of the day, that's where their money is going to be, is find the best filmmakers working today, the best mainstream filmmakers, I guess, and give them a blank check to go make money with your brand. And if it makes money, then make more of those movies. And if it doesn't, oh well. Just don't spend. Maybe don't spend $200 million on Jupiter Ascending and things like that.
Weren't they just giving a blank check to the Wachowskis, who made the Matrix?
You know, like, big blank check there.
Yeah, it's a big blank check. But like you said, I mean, you know, the Wachowskis aren't necessarily Christopher Nolan, but they gave Warner Brothers one of its most profitable franchises ever in The Matrix. So they're you know, even after Speed Racer's failure and obviously Cloud Atlas, which didn't go over with mainstream audiences, don't you think that there was still enough good faith in you know, between the two for them to say, okay, what you got? Well, it's a big sci-fi epic in the vein of The Matrix. Okay, here you go. Give us The Matrix again. Only bigger. I don't know how that pitch meeting went, but
with werewolves.
Yes, things didn't work out. But I mean, at least it's an example of them trusting a filmmaker And again, it's risky. I mean, Inception was a risk, right? But it paid off big time. And, you know, it helps to have a great script, and it helps to have a very specific vision and a visionary like Christopher Nolan. But to the Wachowskis' credit, they made The Matrix, and perhaps they could do that again. And at least that was a risk that Warner Brothers was willing to take. But you just can't take too many of those risks, especially if they end up like Jupiter Ascending.
Exactly. Yeah, and I mean, I guess it all comes back down to that number too. Is you know, Deadpool $80 million, and it's a huge hit. You know, we don't. Not everything has to cost $250 million. If Batman v Superman, you know, was a little bit of a more modestly budgeted film, it would not be, because that movie's doing well. You know, it's not the disaster that people have been saying that it was going to be since November. You know,
it's already made $800 million worldwide.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, that's another totally different conversation, is that the narratives built in around a lot of these movies are so poisonous that it's not doing anybody any good. Again, if Batman v Superman had been a little bit more modestly budgeted, it would be, the narrative would be totally different. I mean, there's all sorts of things. I do not envy the position of the people running Warner Brothers. It seems like it would be a very stressful job, but I think they can look, again, just rest on the legacy that has made the studio great, and do what's worked in the past. And, you know, at the end of the day, make great movies. Like, that should be your number one goal, is make great movies, not perpetuate weak brands.
Well, there was speculation that the performance and the critical reaction and the fan reaction to Batman versus Superman would maybe influence Warner Brothers and DC to pivot and rethink the strategy, right? Instead of, I think as the reporter article says, letting Zack Snyder go ahead with Justice League 1 and 2. And there was another source that said there are no such plans to do that. But if it does that, then do we get the Batman standalone movie that everybody wants? Or, you know, does it just become a one-off with Ben Affleck as Batman in this DC universe? I mean, we want that Batman, but that Batman has to exist within this universe they've created. So if they do re-strategize, do they start fresh with Batman? And is that all we get from Affleck, or do you foresee them just going through with this big Justice League plan that will include that Batman standalone?
I think because of the leadership the way it is, I think that they're going to keep going. I think there are maybe some analogies here to wrestling, in that the WWE, you know, they have their Roman Reigns. Zack Snyder is their Roman Reigns. And it's what they think it's all they think they've got, so that they're gonna keep pushing that talent. And I think they're wrong. I think that honestly, if you're asking me what I would do, which you didn't really ask, but I'm gonna take it that way. I think what they should do is give Zack Snyder a break. Say, hey man, great job on Superman and on the Batman movie. Did a good job. Hey, you want to make this Fountainhead movie? You want to do something that's a little bit out of what you've been working on for the last four movies or so? Why don't you go, here's $100 million or $80 million, you go make your movie, and go make it the best movie you can make it. And then go over to Ben Affleck and say, hey, you're good as Batman, so, and you're a good director, so here, go make the Batman movie that you want to make with a similarly modest budget. It's Batman, you know, you don't have to blow up a city. And then Superman's dead at the end of Batman v Superman. So what a great time to look at that character again and find a filmmaker that can really take that character and those actors that they've got cast, those great actors, and make something fresh and new and kind of outside of that DC house style. And then let Patty Jenkins keep making her Wonder Woman movie, which looks like it's its own special thing. And then you know, come back to the table and say, all right, so we've got our Batman plan, we've got our Superman plan, we've got our Wonder Woman plan. They're all kind of different. Now let's see how we can treat these other things going forward. And how we can be responsible with these brands. And again, just kind of shake it up a little bit and get away from this idea that everything has to look and feel the same.
Are you going to call this episode Warner Brothers Fantasy Booking?
Yes.
For more Film Nerds Unlimited, go to filmnerds.com or find us on Facebook and Twitter. If you like what you hear, rate and review our podcast on iTunes. Keep an eye out for the next issue of Film Nerds Unlimited, coming soon.